Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, good evening, everybody. Great to be with you. Great to see everybody coming out on this wintry, well, not wintry, this wet evening. But it's great to worship. I just felt, as we were singing those songs, Blessed Be Your Name, like we are truly blessed, and we get to just return that blessing. We get to praise our God, and it was great for me. It was you know, just full week, a good week, but I was tired, and just to have that time of worship together really touched me. And this passage I'm going to unpack tonight is one, as I was preparing it, it was one that really spoke to me as well. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. So I actually don't want to do too much commentary or analysis. I want to let the text speak, because Jesus is doing some very direct teaching. And so just listen to his words, and I will add comment and insight, but yeah, please focus on the words of Jesus and let the Spirit speak to you tonight wherever you are. It is a little bit of a heavier topic. You haven't come on the celebration day. Jesus is talking about the cost of being a disciple. We're not going to get into cost-benefit analysis. That's for the AGM, I think, later. No, no, but it is a very important teaching, and I think it's particularly important because of our culture. So we're in the book of Luke, and Jesus has been addressed. He's done all the miracles. He's gathered his disciples. He's sent out his disciples to go and cast out demons. So his ministry is really moving. He then turns his attention to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, and he has a go at them. He says, "You guys aren't, you're not teaching people how to honor God. You're looking after your own self-interest. You're making this about religion and about rules." So he has a go at the Pharisees and the religious leaders. But now, in chapter 14, verse 25, he's turned his attention back to the crowds. And I say crowds because he's gathered a large group of people. There's lots of people following him. There's lots of people who think Jesus is going to bring salvation to the nation of Israel on their own terms. And so he's correcting what they think. Can we read together, please? Luke 14, verse 25 to 35. If you've got your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen there as well. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." That's pretty strong language. Being a disciple here, Jesus, he's exaggerating. He's using some hyperbole. He's saying, if you follow me, your life has to be about me. Your life has to revolve around me. Your allegiance is to me. The end point of your life and all the purposes in it revolve around me. Your primary allegiance is no longer to your family. In that culture, you know, family honor was significant. You wanted to do well for your family. You wanted to pass on a great legacy for your children and your grandchildren. And he's saying, no, your primary allegiance, if you become a disciple of mine, if you choose to follow me, is to me. That's your primary one. And the commitment that you make is final and it's unavoidable. It's total commitment. Verse 27, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, he's speaking before he himself carried the cross. So we look back post-crucifixion, we go, wow, this is a big deal. But even to those people of the day, he's saying, just like a convicted criminal, someone who knows that they're going to endure death, there's no way out of it. This is total, complete commitment to God, and it's total, complete surrender to suffering that may happen. It's very strong language. He's saying that's what it means to be a disciple, and it's a high cost. Now, sometimes when I read the Bible, you go, well, did Jesus say this more than once? Was this a bad day for him? He says very similar things in all the gospel accounts. So if you looked at Luke 9, Matthew 10, Mark 8, I don't think it's in John. The themes are there, but not this direct and explicit. but it's in all the Gospels and it's repeated throughout his teaching. Jesus is serious. He wants all of us. So the cost of being a disciple is quite high. To reinforce the point, he gives the crowd some illustrations. He talks about being a builder and being a king. So let's read that together in verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Again, it's strong words. Those who fail to estimate the cost of building a tower, that building project, they face ridicule because that tower, half completed, is a reminder to everyone who walks past, hey, that person didn't know what they were doing. That person failed to finish. For the king who fails to weigh the cost or the risk of going against another army, that king risks humiliation. Rather than negotiating some favorable terms, you know, getting something or having the ability to save life potentially, if he doesn't weigh the cost, he'll make the wrong decision and it'll cost a lot of people a lot. For the builder, for that first illustration, they have a bit of a luxury of choice. They can choose whether they start the building project. After they've done the cost analysis, they can go, yep, I have enough money. I think we can do that. Or there's enough laborers available to me. I think we can do that. But for the king, he's backed into a corner. Something is going to happen. And he needs to make the wise decision. The wise decision to assess the situation and work out how he can make the best decision. The stakes are high. See, Jesus didn't give an example of a baker going to a cupboard to see if they had enough flour to then make the bread. That's an everyday example. He's talking about lifelong things that will impact. If the builder doesn't get that, if the builder doesn't build the tower, they don't get the benefit of the tower. The tower provides protection for their vineyard or for their farm. And so you might sink all your money into something and then not actually get any benefit out of it. It's not going to be effective at all. Again, the stakes are high. In verse 33, there we go. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Jesus just throws possessions in there as well. He says, everything you have, anything that could detract you from the ability to follow Jesus, you need to put it aside. Following Jesus is total devotion. It's not a reactionary response, and that's why I mentioned it. I think it's pretty pertinent in our culture, because just like the crowds getting really excited about Jesus, we can go, oh, that he's going to bring good things, he's going to bring good change. Inviting Jesus, following Jesus is going to do good things for my life. So I'm going to go with the crowd and I'm going to, you know, try and accept those blessings. That's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to weigh up the cost, to reflect and with reason consider, are we prepared to follow Jesus? Yeah. Do we have everything that, you know, have we engaged with everything that we need, that we'll need to follow him as well? Are we prepared to put everything aside to follow him? It's intentional, very intentional. And finally, Jesus has a conclusion. Salt is meant to be salty, right? That's what salt is for. Let's read together. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Well, the answer is it can't. It's neither fit for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, salt in those days, it was probably distilled. I don't know if that's the right word, but it was taken from the ocean and the Dead Sea and boiled down, but it wasn't pure salt. It wasn't what we have today. It had some other impurities, and the actual salt could fall away. So you have what looked like salt, but it wasn't salty. It wasn't actually useful or effective. It's just something one of the commentators mentioned. I looked it up, and a few others have mentioned the same thing. I thought, wow, that's something I learned. But what struck a chord with me is, well, there's so many people who say they're following Jesus. From the outside, they look as though they're Christians, yet they're not actually effective disciples. They're not actually salty. And here Jesus is saying, salt's not salty, it's ineffective, it's useless. If a disciple is not an authentic disciple, they're ineffective, they're useless. Following Jesus is all or nothing. It's not a decision, I'll follow him now because it's convenient, or I'll follow him now in this season of my life. I'll follow him if I get the rewards. I'll step in, dip my toe in, and just see how it goes, working it out. No, following Jesus, being an authentic disciple, is an all or nothing. I think that's the point he's trying to make. He's really clearly using some strong language, just trying to lay out. This is not something you just step into and without considering you actually being a part of it. This is not going along with the crowd. It's total devotion he requires. For me, I mean, when I got to 27 years old, so I'm 31 now, I got to 27 and I was reading, I don't know if it was this account or if it was the one in Matthew, but I was reading through and the Spirit just spoke to me about baptism. See, I hadn't been baptized yet. I'd been following Jesus since I was 9, yet there was something within me that just hadn't made that step of obedience. There'd been times I'd gone to be baptized and it just didn't work out. It was a convenience thing for me. And so as I was reading this was 4 years ago now, nearly 5. As I was reading these words, it just struck me, following Jesus is all or nothing. The question that came to mind is there anything in my life that I'm withholding from God? Is there any area of my life that I'm saying, no, God, I've got this. You look after all of that. I'd love help in these areas, but I'm looking after this. And for me, there was a disobedience there. I wasn't baptized. And so that's my example of the Holy Spirit just reminding me of, in my life, there's bits and pieces that I haven't totally surrendered. Yet we're called to totally surrender. We're called to be totally devoted to Jesus. It's not a matter of whether life is good or bad. It's just a matter of who we're trusting, who we're serving, who we're surrendering to. So the cost of following Jesus is everything. Is it worth it? It's not a rhetorical question. I'd love some input from you guys. Because it's a question that needs to be answered. So I want to throw this out to you. The cost is high. Jesus says the cost is high. Most of you, all of you are Christians. You've been following Jesus. You know about Jesus. What are the benefits of following Jesus? Would someone call them out? Just go for it. Hope. Hope for eternity. Eternity dwelling with our Creator God in paradise. It's beautiful. Love. Yeah. It's a bit vague now. You've got everything. I think there's something so fulfilling about knowing that you're standing in the purpose that God created you for. We're created to worship God. We're created to be in community with him. And when we realize that and when we totally surrender to God in that space of worship, I know to me, I feel really fulfilled and it's beautiful. It's definitely something we gain. Other things. Peace. All the fruits of the Spirit. The things that are within us, but they're not from us. They're the Spirit overflowing in our lives so that we can have peace when there's no worldly reason to have peace. The Holy Spirit. We gain intimacy with God. We're able to pray to God. We're able to have conversation with him. It continually blows my mind that we can have a personal relationship and conversation with God. It's what we gain. So is it worth it? Is it worth following Jesus? Yeah? Thanks. I think so. I really do. I've got a list of a few others, but Jesus said, I think Keon mentioned it, I came to bring life and life abundantly. That's why he came. So yes, the cost is high. It's everything. It's complete trust and surrender. But it's worth it. We gain so much more than we give up. And we're able to live peaceful lives. We're able to live fulfilled lives. We're able to live lives of hope. We're able to live a life where we can confidently step into what he's made us to do. We gain so, so much. We might get blessing. We might also get suffering. But Jesus didn't say this life would be easy. I think that's what he's reminding the people. People in the crowd who are saying, hey, let's go. Let's take Jerusalem. Let's make you king. We'll get to that in the book. But he's saying, no. Take up your cross. Follow me. I want your everything. He deserves our everything, right? Because of what he's done for us, he deserves our everything. So it's just the right response back to him. So I want to take a moment just to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But then I want to speak to a few different groups of people who may be in the room. And it might resonate with you, it might not. But just have a moment to be quiet, to be silent, and the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind an area of your life that you need to surrender to God. The Holy Spirit is convicting you to say, you know, I need to get to know this Jesus. Just let the Spirit speak for a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, to anyone who's not currently following Jesus, whether you're in the room or you're listening online later on, Jesus wants to extend an invitation to you. He says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, that's an invitation to anyone. It's not a... That was fairly scandalous because back then you had to be a certain type of person, male for one, but a certain type of person in order to be a disciple of a rabbi. And he's saying, no, if anyone wants to be my disciple, this is how you can do it. So that he is inviting you to be his disciple. You don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. You don't have to have your life together. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. So if that's you, please come chat to me, chat to one of the leaders, reach out to us online. We want to be able to talk to you more about it. We want to introduce you to Jesus so you know more about what you're potentially giving up and what you're potentially gaining. So if that's you, please reach out. Then there might be others. Maybe your Christian journey has been being a part of a crowd. You brought up in a Christian family. Or your friends at school were Christians and so you just sort of went along with them. That's like building the tower, but only getting the foundation of the tower done. Right? You don't actually get the benefit. It might have cost you a lot already, but the benefit is in surrendering to Jesus. The benefit is in stepping all in and being totally devoted. That's where we receive the freedom. So again, if that's you, just let the Holy Spirit minister to you and we'd love to chat to you. There might be other people, I think I mentioned before, that you've got an area of your life that you're holding on to. You're like, God, you can have everything else, but this is the one I want to hold on to. Jesus wants everything. He deserves everything, and it's the best way to live is completely surrendered to him. Maybe you've let things distract you. Maybe it's possessions. It's the pursuit of something. In my journey, I was pursuing status. I was pursuing money. I was pursuing fame in my previous career. And I got some of it, and it felt good. But it wasn't fulfilling, and it wasn't worthwhile. It's not going to last for eternity. So if there's things, if you've been distracted, the really great thing is, our God is a God of grace. There's nothing, maybe we were following Jesus and we've just taken a detour. We've stopped being fully committed. Jesus offers grace. How God forgives. All we need to do is come back to him, surrender, acknowledge our sin, repent, and he will accept us. We serve such a gracious God. The final group is anyone who life is tough for right now, where there is suffering. Now, Jesus says, anyone who is my disciple needs to take up their cross and follow me. If you're suffering, you're in good company. Jesus suffered for our fallen world, but he overcame the world. So we can take heart, we can have hope in eternity, because Jesus overcame the world. So is following Jesus really worth it? It absolutely is. There's another parable, Matthew 13. It's on the screens there. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. In his joy, he went out and bought the field. There's a quote I'd like to close just before I pray with from Bonhoeffer. He's got a book called The Cost of Discipleship. I haven't read it, but I've heard a few good things. But there's this wonderful quote. If we answer the call to discipleship, where will it lead us? What decisions and partings will it demand? The answer to this question, we shall have to go to him, for only he knows the answer. We don't know what life's going to hold. Only Jesus Christ, who bids us follow him, knows the journey's end. But we do know it will be a road of boundless mercy, because discipleship means joy. Discipleship means communion with our Creator. We have hope for eternity, and so the cost is worth paying. The cost, actually, talk to anyone who's been following Jesus a while, the cost just pales in significance to the rewards. I'd love to pray for us all. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you invite us to be your disciples. Lord, thank you that you extend grace and forgiveness when we don't measure up to being your disciple. Lord, thank you that you bestow good gifts upon us. We thank you for that hope. We thank you that we're going to dwell with you in eternity. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that overflows within us. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to choose to follow you each and every day. Lord, give us strength to follow you when it's tough. Give us wisdom to know the right decisions to make to follow you each day. But mostly, Lord, I just pray for me and I pray for us. May you grow our passion for you, our passion for intimacy with you, our passion for the mission and your mandate over each of our lives. Lord, so that we can experience the joy of being your disciple. Pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.